Good morning. You've tuned in to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. It's Thursday, November 8th. You just told me that, Jim. It's November 8th and I forgot already. But
short-term memory loss, here, what that indicates.
Here we are in the studios of KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. Jim is back for your usual Thursday, Thursday squad.
I'm here.
Back together.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
We are going to be talking later on in the show to Emily Levine from the Farmers Market at Sandpoint about the upcoming Farmers Market Holiday Market at the Bonner Mall, which is this Saturday. But first, there's lots we can catch up a little bit on,
sure,
on the travels of Jim, and I'll talk about the weather. Should we start? Do you want to tell us where you've been, Jim?
I was in the city by the bay, my most favorite city, second mm-hmm. to Sandpoint, in the entire cosmos. I went down and had Halloween
mm-hmm.
in the Castro District, and that's a high holy day down there, and it's very festive and wonderful. You just see the most outrageous costumes ever. And then on November 2nd was Dia de los Muertos. I just showed Jack and Emily. If you've seen the movie Coco, that's utterly delightful, a Pixar movie, Disney Pixar movie. We had our faces painted, mm-hmm. and then you go to a little park off 25th Street. This is in the Mission District, where they have created little shrines, memories of those who have departed, so their spirits could come back and be with you for the night, and it's beautiful and very yeah. moving. So, and I also saw six movies.
And in alphabetical order? Those were,
oh, geez, don't do
just
that
kidding.
Thing. I saw A Beautiful Boy. That's getting a lot of attention. I saw Boy Erased with Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe about conversion therapy. I saw a beautiful movie. I hope that we're able to bring it here. What They Had about dealing with aging parents, one of whom is suffering with dementia, and with Hilary Swank. Plays the lead role in that, and Blythe Danner plays the mother. Just that was a good one. And then I'll be talking later about one of the movies, because mm-hmm. we're doing some of the music from it. But it was a great time. Did you miss me?
We did. We missed you here in Sandpoint. We missed you here on the morning show, but Carrie Logan was here last week.
I love Carrie.
A swell job filling in for you, as she always does. And what else? Have you ever done that, the Day of the Dead, down there before?
I've done mm-hmm. it before, and they have a big festive parade, and everybody has those skull faces, mm-hmm. and they're just delightful. And what's so much fun is to see families with little kids in strollers with skull faces on.
Mm-hmm.
And, it takes place at night, and it's dark, and people taking to the streets to have enjoyment with the music, and then the solemnity of going to this little park where people have set up shrines. Mm-hmm. And it's very moving, because you learn about, you're supposed to bring little mementos of the loved one and photographs, and they arrange fruit, and then, of course, the candles. And it's just beautiful. If one mm-hmm. ever gets a chance to Dia de los Muertos in the Mission District in San Francisco, it's always on All Souls Day. The first is All Saints Day. The second is All Souls Day.
Yeah. Was there anything going on the day in between? On All Saints Day, between Halloween and...
I think, kids pigging out on their candy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to get the energy up for All Souls Day, and mm-hmm. The Halloween candy gets you through the 1st of mm-hmm. November. But just a great city and a great place to be, and always so much to do.
Cool. Yes, very, very neat. Let me give you the quick weather update here. In Sandpoint, it is currently overcast and 32 degrees on the dot, according to the National Weather Service. A high today of 44 degrees. Did I say it was overcast? Because it's kind of, it's clearing up, I would say.
The sun started breaking when you came in, Emily, didn't it?
It was in town. In the valley, we were still really socked in when
Low fog. I think I read fog is going to be with us for a little while.
Fog this morning and then sunny this afternoon. But still pretty brisk. I know yesterday it felt like kind of that it had made that transition from fall into the kind of really wintry kind of cold that stings your cheeks.
You leave for a week. We have a big sycamore tree in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I raked before.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a sea of leaves. I mean, I watch the squirrels back there and they have to leap, you know, over all the leaves that have fallen. I mean, just amazing how all of a sudden, you know, your trees are denuded.
Yeah. It's been a big week, week and a half or so of leaf falling.
I've got raking all in my future.
Raking. It was a nice long fall, though.
Oh,
it
no certainly complaints was. About that. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Is that a good time of year for you? I love the fall.
It's my favorite time of year. But there's a lot to do before the snow flies. I'm sure for everybody, but on the farm we have a lot going on.
Is that a second to the springtime your busiest time?
Oh, the spring is busier. At least in the fall, the days are getting shorter, and we're getting started later in the day, stopping a little earlier, making more intricate meals. But the pressure is on to do all the things, all the squirreling and all the prepping before snow.
Before your long winter's rest.
Yes.
Is that true? Is it a lot of resting in winter?
Yeah, it depends on for me personally, it is. We choose to really take the winter months, the three, you know, December, January, February, really off. Some growers keep going, you know, there's always projects to do.
Hot houses.
Hot houses, yeah. You can grow, you can't grow, but you can be harvesting through the winter in unheated greenhouses if you plan it right. It's a large undertaking to do that, but you can.
Okay, well, one of the fun things about this time of year is being outdoors is the colors of the trees. Weren't they spectacular this year?
It was a very colorful fall, and as Emily mentioned, very long-lasting. I mean, we always get some colors, but sometimes it feels like it's there for 3 days, and then a big rain, and it's all gone. It was nice. Let me finish up the weather report here, because there is the S word in the forecast for tomorrow. 80% chance of snow and then patchy fog and then rain or snow on Friday afternoon. A high of 39 degrees tomorrow. A chance of rain and snow and then mostly cloudy on Friday night. Mostly sunny, though, on Saturday, and a high of 41 degrees. Saturday, let's see. I see that it is Veterans Day. It's November 11th coming up. Areas of fog and then mostly sunny with a high of 39 degrees. And then looking into next week is high of 40, more of the same, patchy fog, then mostly sunny. The only day that really has precipitation in the forecast is tomorrow, Friday.
Okay.
And it starts
skiers
in the morning.
Are going to look up at Schweitzer and get sort of twitchy. They're going to look up there and start putting wax on their skis. That time of year is nearly. Are you a skier, Emily?
I'm not. I tried to get into it when I moved here because it seemed like the thing to do. And I can ski. I like to cross country ski, but
much more civil.
My pace is a little slower.
Likewise. We're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm from the Midwest. Jim is also.
We're the highest elevation. Yeah. It's like 300 feet.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, Buck Hill in Minnesota, the old dump is where you went
skiing. I love Buck Hill.
Yeah.
Are you a Minnesotan?
I went to college in Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very comfortable at Buck Hill. Schweitzer intimidates me a little
bit.
Yeah,
me too.
I would like to say one thing about the snow on Friday, which is that I don't like that it's going to begin. Personal note, personal comment.
Oh, personal moment here on 88.5.
I don't like that it says it's going to start snowing in the morning. I like that. I like the first snow of the year to happen like in the evening or on the weekend
when you can
either wake up to it and see snow on the ground or actually see the first flakes come down, but you can go out and kind of enjoy it. I'm going to be at work. I'm going to be looking out and I'm going to see the first flakes and I'm not going to be able to really participate in the first snow.
It sounds like you should create an app, Weather Your Way,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you hit the right buttons and then you walk outside and it's exactly. I think there's some money to be made there.
Or tell the boss that every year, I take a holiday on the day of the first snow.
You wouldn't be the only one in this town who takes holidays when it snows.
That's true.
Just pretend you're a skier, and it's like taking a smoke break. Suddenly you get way more time off.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, work it, something Jack. To think work about. Work it. So if we didn't mention it, I know we mentioned it before, but let's say again, we're here with Emily Levine, who is a farmer, a vendor, and a board member at the farmer's market at Sandpoint, which we all who live here in town are familiar with because it's every Saturday and every Wednesday down at Farm and Park. But it doesn't end there. You've got a big event coming up this Saturday at the Bonner Mall.
We do.
Yeah. It's the first time it's ever been at the Bonner Mall.
That's true.
This is the Farmer's Market Holiday Market, which I refer to. Tell us about it, Emily.
Okay. Well, we had our last market of our 30th year back in October. October 13th was our last day of our regular season, our outdoor season. And I didn't look this up. I think this might be our fifth year doing a holiday market. A lot of vendors still have lots of good food going into the holidays. Thanksgiving's coming up, and we want to share it. And then we also have a lot of great crafters and food vendors who have lots of good things to share. So we decided to do a one-day only indoor market, and that is this Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Bonner Mall, which is a new location for us. There will be lots of farm vendors with seasonal produce, so that can mean a lot of things. I can give you a little list.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what would be available at this time of year.
Of course. So I know that I'm actually kind of blown away by our harvest that we've started for this weekend. We have a lot of the storage crops that you would expect. So we have carrots that are really sweet from being frosted on now. We have beets and potatoes. We have winter squash, onions, garlic, shallots, all those things, cabbage that you would expect for a winter market. We also have our regular round of salad greens. We have spring mix and arugula and Asian greens. We have kale. We have some peppers that held over from the summer, from after, right before the frosts. We have cauliflower and broccoli. I know that there are vendors with spinach and microgreens. Who knows? There could be a tomato there.
I was just going to ask that. I was just going to ask that. Could there be one that was forgotten?
There could be. We have tomatoes that we're eating right now that were still hanging on our plants after the plants died. I wouldn't dare sell them because they're not nearly up to the standard of anything you would purchase.
But they're a vague
maybe
memory.
From the grocery store. But they're just a different texture now. They're not as sweet, but we're still eating them.
Oh, absolutely. The vegetables that you all name, many of them are root vegetables in the ground. Do you leave in during the winter months and then pull them out as you need them for your own personal use?
There certainly are vegetables that you can do that. Carrots, parsnips actually are better if you harvest them in the spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they really get sweet over the winter.
How deep are they?
They are, I mean, they grow, you know, starting at the surface, and they're usually pretty long. And then you'd want to mulch anything that you left in the ground, you'd want to mulch with straw or leaves.
Put straw around them.
Yeah.
And
the only problem with leaving things in the ground is, especially when you mulch them, then it attracts rodents and little mice get in there. And
really?
They might chew it up, or gophers if you have that problem. You might come back to
They're still active
nothing.
In the winter months?
Yeah, they're burrowing in the ground.
The little buggers.
And snacking.
No
so
kidding.
We like to dig ours up because I've lost whole crops. But it is a great potential way to store crops. It holds things really well.
So let's say the turnips that you do pull up, you can store them like in a cold cellar and they'll hold?
Yeah, actually that reminds me of radishes, salad turnips, there's all those things too.
Ah.
Yeah, so different crops get stored different ways. There's kind of a category of crops that like to be in high humidity and as close to freezing as possible. So those are the things you would think of refrigerating. So carrots, turnips, parsnips, beets, cabbage, anything green, like kohlrabi or celeriac. Those things you can store in a plastic bag in your fridge. Is the best way. If they're moist or wet, you might want to poke some holes in the bag.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, with our big bags of storage carrots, we drill holes in the bag so that they vent a little bit. They want to be about 90% humidity, but they can rot if it's too wet in there. And then there's another set of crops that like to be dry and cool, but not cold, so more in the 50 degree range. So that would be like onions and garlic and winter squash.
How about potatoes?
Potatoes, I haven't figured out yet.
To be continued.
They're somewhere in the middle. Everything I've read says that they like to be a little warmer, but my experience is that they like the cold, moist, just like the carrots.
Can you leave potatoes? But of course, the trouble with potatoes is they go in every direction.
Yeah.
And to dig them up in the winter months, if it's really a cold winter and the ground gets frozen,
hard to get to them. Hard to find them.
What happens to a potato that's left in?
It sprouts in the spring and becomes a volunteer potato. They tend to be the most productive every time. Any crop is there by mistake. They always do better than the ones that you're trying to grow.
A volunteer potato.
Volunteer, yeah.
Is that your term?
No, volunteer. Mm-hmm. A volunteer is any plant that plants itself or that you didn't plant. So if a sunflower drops its seeds and then in the spring they sprout and you get a sunflower, that's a volunteer sunflower.
Or sure.
The squash that... rotted on the ground and one of the
seeds Or if you compost. Yep. We compost and, what do you think that is?
Yeah.
Should we leave that one there? That sort of, half the fun is like, we don't know what in the heck it is.
What comes up. Yeah. One of my worst weeds this year was tomatillos.
Oh, really?
From last year because they're so wild. I never pick everyone and they just have tons of seeds and they were in a plot where my onions were this year, and it was like...
Oh, those tomatillos.
Those rascals.
Sorry, weird.
It's fun hearing. When the lights go out in the garden, the tomatillos pick on the onions and the onions, bad mouth over the radishes. Yeah. And
I've never thought of a tomatillo as a weed.
I mean,
it sounds like a good problem to have.
It's a decent problem for sure. Yeah, I would way rather have vegetable weeds than some of the other kinds of weeds that I have. But it depends on your style of gardening. If you're not trying to like absolutely maximize what you're getting, a lot of times it's great. You let them go and you have a surprise garden and that's really fun. But in a farm, I kind of have to have things where I want them. At least in my farm.
Yeah. But don't you have a lot of space on a farm, where...
It depends on the farm.
Okay.
Depends on the farm, the style of farming. I mean, farming is a low-margin business. So really maximizing your output per square foot is pretty important if you want to make a profit at all.
Mm-hmm.
It also just makes... weeding, it makes harvesting and just dealing with the ground a lot easier if things are orderly. I wish I could have just kind of a wild garden, but it doesn't work for me to have a business growing food.
Do you have any raised beds?
That's kind of a complicated question. We are moving into a no-till form of farming, so we build our beds, which doesn't include, so they're mounded but not raised, so we don't have like wood or something around them,
right?
But we do dig out the paths and mound them into the beds, so the beds are taller than the pathways, and then we don't till them after that. We just keep piling on organic matter, and so we'll put on compost and mulch and keep piling them on. So they are raised on some
as it piles up.
Yeah, but it's not like I don't have wooden structures that are filled with soil.
The reason why I was asking is they're so much easier to weed.
Yeah, they can be until quackgrass starts getting in.
There you go. And then there you go.
Mm-hmm. Just as hard.
Is there something advantageous to no-till?
Yes, definitely. The main thing that comes to mind is just the soil life. So there's a huge community of life that happens in soil, of microorganisms, of bacteria and fungi and nematodes that are all interacting eating and dying and pooping. And a healthy soil has all of those things in a certain balance. And it's actually the activity of the microbes that are feeding the plants. So if you have healthy microbes, you have much healthier plants. And when you till, it breaks up all that. It really kills all that structure of all the microbe community that's formed.
Interesting.
And so then it has to start over every year. And it really doesn't have a chance to establish. Mm-hmm. So no-till, especially for fungi, really get a chance to establish a web. And they communicate with each other. And it's amazing. I mean, they do. They tell, like, if one plant gets attacked by a pest, it sends out messages through the fungi and tells the other plants that that like this is coming, and they have defenses for that. I mean, it's amazing the science behind this. Is all real, not like La La Land stuff.
Yeah. I'd love to see Gary Larson from The Far Side do some cartoons. He hasn't written in a long time, you know, years, decades, but it'd be fun to see because he knows a lot about science.
Yes.
And so I like your description, you know, they're attacking a plant over here.
Yeah. Okay. What's your home refrigeration / food storage look like?
Well, the main the main thing that I have for the farm is a big walk-in cooler that actually there's a really cool, no pun intended as I get there, system called a CoolBot, which takes a regular window air conditioner and tricks it into thinking that the room is hotter than it is so that it, you know, a regular air conditioner only runs down to like, it'll only cool down to like 60 or 55.
Mm-hmm.
And this tricks the air conditioner to keep running past that. And it will cool all the way down to 33 degrees. So you can build a very well insulated room and install one of these units and have a walk-in cooler without all the compressor and all the things that come with commercial walk-in coolers, and they're fantastic and they're affordable and they're lower energy input in terms of just how much it takes to run them.
Cool.
So I have one of those we built into a trailer. So it's on wheels, which I take to market. We just load into that. Yeah. It's really great. I would love to have a root cellar, but I don't. I live in the Selly Valley where the water table's really high and it's really, I don't have a hillside to build into, so it would just flood. I do a lot. And then that second category of storage crops, the onions and the garlic and the squash, those end up in different places every year, sometimes under my bed and sometimes at my in-laws' basement and sometimes over here and sometimes over there. And sometimes I just have to give away onions as Christmas presents.
Do you freeze a lot?
I do. Yep, I freeze. I like to ferment, like pickles and things. Those still then require refrigeration or at least to be cool so that they don't continue to ferment. And sometimes I can, although I didn't do any canning this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I do put away a lot of food and eat a lot. I mean, a lot of the stuff we eat, we just eat fresh. Like we eat cabbage salads all winter long from cabbage that's stored in our cooler.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we take a music break?
Probably so.
Okay. But before we go, I heard from my sister in Arlington, Virginia, and she gave me the weather report. She says 52 right now, high of 56 today, bright and sunny, and her husband is out golfing. So there you go for those people who are in the D.C. area. Through the magic of technology, you can listen to us everywhere. I thought we'd do a music break. One of my favorite gardening songs and harvesting songs is by David Gans. He is the person who does a wonderful job with the Grateful Dead Hour. But he also has his own band. And this is called Bounty of the County. And it's just delightful. And then we'll come back to Emily, and we're going to talk about more about the holiday market than what you should be doing with your gardens right now so that you can have a thoughtless, gardenless December, January, February. David Gans, the host of the Grateful Dead Hour on Saturday nights here on 88.5 KRFY, 9 o'clock. With Bounty of the County.
We're here with Emily Levine from the Farmers Market at Sandpoint, talking about the Farmers Market holiday market. And really, we've been talking just, I have been fascinated to learn a little bit about the life of a farmer in the autumn, in farming in the northern climate, this whatever climate we're in right now, the
Zone three.
Yeah, that's what
Five?
Zone five.
Are we at five?
Yeah. Oh. Four or five.
Okay.
Depending on.
I was thinking of flowers. Do you guys do flowers?
We do flower. No. We used to do. We're doing some like just for the bees.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't sell them.
No, yeah. Just to keep them around the veggies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Yeah. And I've just been fascinated, and I wonder if there's any farmers out there who are just like, you're just describing my day-to-day life, who are just bored to tears by what we're talking about what happens to vegetables in the fall. I think it's interesting.
Well, you know, when you look at the number of raised beds that Michelle Murphy with the Edible Schoolyard Garden Project, and you have it over at the food bank, you drive by the... It seems like, I don't know, from your perspective, Emily.
The number of people who garden in this town, I think, is amazing. Yeah. I sell plant starts in the spring.
Okay.
And it blows me away every year how many people grow big gardens and how many people come and support the farmers market. I think for a town this size, our gardening community and our good eating community are out of this world.
Yeah.
I'm sure when one walks by the Red Wheelbarrows display, you know, it's inspirational, you know, I mean, to see the beauty of what's grown locally and the importance of growing locally and supporting locally.
Yeah. I know. So I'm just a customer of the farmers market, but I go down every Saturday, even if I'm not going to buy anything, I always go down and take a lap. Do you do the same, Jim?
You know, there's music, there's vendors, it's a social gathering. You see people whom you haven't seen. You get a good idea when the huckleberry starts. It's about time I head up to the hills. You know, I mean, you get a good idea of what's available and what's happening during the summer.
Yeah, and there's a lot more that, like you said, than just produce. There's baked goods, there's goat cheese, there's salmon products, there's bread, there's soap and fine crafts, a lot of jewelry and wood products and paintings and ceramics, just so much. Live music at every market. It's a family affair. It's really fun in that nice park. We have such a great spot.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, will everything that you mentioned, we've been talking about produce, we've been talking about the veggies, everything that you mentioned with bread and handcraft items, will they be at the Farmers Market Holiday Market this Saturday, 10 to 2 at Bonner Mall?
Correct. Bonner Mall, new location. Yes, not every vendor is going to be at our market, at the holiday market, but we have a very nice long list of vendors that will be there. There will be, like I said, all the produce, but also fresh bread and delicious pastries. There will be goat cheese and goat milk. There's raw wool products and knitting things that you can buy. There are salves and lotions and handmade soaps, and there will be leather goods. There will be pepper jelly. The guy who does the he grows all of his own peppers and does hot sauces and pepper jellies. He will be there. These are all great gifts, also.
Oh, absolutely.
Kettle corn guys will be there. The Sandpoint Lavender Farm, who they grow all their own lavender and distill it. They have a beautiful copper still, and they distill their own essential oils from really beautiful lavender.
I have to admit, I'm a lavender addict.
Oh, yeah. Her stuff is amazing.
I love lavender. Lavender soap, lavender room spray, name it.
Yeah. Her farm is beautiful when it's blooming, and she really captures the essence of her lavender. Honey, there will be honey, jewelry, there's going to be chair massage, and there's going to be wood-fired pizza. Mandala Pizza, who does fantastic Italian-style thin crust pizza, will be set up in the parking lot right in front of the mall there, and so that can draw you in. You can look for the pizza wagon and follow it from there to find all those scrumptious, 100% locally made. So the farmers market only accepts vendors who sell items that are grown or made by themselves. There's no resale, no kit crafts. It's all locally grown and made.
Support locally. We're talking about the farmers market, holiday market, this Saturday, November the 10th, out at Bonner Mall, 10 to 2. Now, we've been avoiding talking about something, and I think we need to get serious now. Uh-oh. Let's make talk about fennel.
Okay, Lance.
Okay, I mean, that is something we have tried for about 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And had zero luck with.
Are you growing? Are you planting seeds, or do you buy starts? Because you could do either.
I'm not the garden. I'm not the produce person in our relationship. I'm the flower person.
Uh-huh. I deal with. You gotta have your roles.
Yeah, I deal with feeding the soul. He does feeding the body, and I don't know exactly.
I'm not the fennel.
Have you tried
expert.
Fennel?
I eat fennel. I don't grow a lot of fennel. I used to grow like everything I could possibly grow, and I still do love growing some of the really fun out there stuff. But unfortunately for the business, it's become harder for me to like grow ridiculous things like loofah, which I love and
loofah
is really fun. Yeah. But it's really hard to grow, and it takes a lot of energy and then there's not a lot of return on it. I do grow still some of those things. People grow fennel very successfully up here, and when they do, they love it. But I can't really speak to it. I think planting it a little later, like not first thing in the spring for a fall harvest, I think it takes about 80 days. So I think you plant it in like later, in like July. A lot of crops do better if they mature in the cooler weather. If you plant them in the spring and then they mature in the heat, they don't do very well. They bolt or they get bitter. So I know that like the good fennel comes out in the fall. So I think you want to plant it in like July or August and then get it
through. Maybe we're planting it too early. But also we read that fennel wants to be by itself apart from other vegetables. Hmm. You know, it's sort of like
kind of a loner.
Yeah. Leave me alone. I'm fennel. you know, but I love fennel. I love the anise flavor to it.
Yeah. That's such a nice texture.
And I'm sure that Jack has a question about garlic.
Well, I do love garlic. And I also love fennel, by the way.
Oh.
But I've never tried to grow it. I put it on a pizza, though. Like just sausage and fennel on a pizza.
Oh, hello. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, garlic. Jim keeps telling me that it's not hard to grow, but I can't believe it.
Well, I think that...
Support me, Emily. Support
yeah.
I think that people have their, like, spirit vegetables that just do well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the soil and what you put your energy into because you really want it to do well. Garlic can be really easy to grow. It can be really challenging. That's something you can be doing right now is you plant garlic before the ground freezes. So you just take a clove of garlic and plant it with the there's a root end that you can see on the head. You know, it has a little root base, and then there's a top. So you want to plant it root down and tip up, and it's going to sprout, and each clove will form a head. So you plant them about 6 inches apart, and then mulch them for the winter, and they grow. They come up. They're the first thing to come up in the spring. It's really satisfying. It's great. Great thing to just be able to come out, and I always pull away the mulch and peek to see if the garlic's coming up.
Yeah.
When my sister's in Portland, I have daffodils and tulips already, and I'm starting to get something green poking out of the ground. And then you harvest it in July or so. It is a pretty easy crop.
Yeah.
It's all about finding the right variety for your soil. There's lots of different kinds of garlic, and if you try a bunch of different types the first year, if you've never grown it, and then see which one does best, and then you can just save the seeds. So the garlic that you harvest, you can take the biggest or nicest ones and just replant the cloves from that.
Huh. So where do you go to get these various varieties of garlic?
Well, you can go to the farmer's market holiday market on Saturday,
way to
November
plug it,
10th,
Jack.
From 10 to 2. There's a lot of garlic there, and a lot of different kinds that you can plant.
And that's so the garlic that will be sold for eating, you can eat just as easily take it and plant it.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything
that's
to it.
That's true. But you should always talk to the vendor.
The seller.
The
absolutely.
Seller. For me, I've had some fungal issues in my old, I moved my farm recently, and my old farm had a disease that transfers through the bulbs. And so my garlic that I sell for eating, I tell people not to plant because it could transfer contain. Into their soil. So there are, because that's another thing, like garlic is easy to grow, but it also can have a lot of problems, a lot of diseases and things, which I think is totally weird because garlic is like antibacterial and antifungal, and you eat it and it makes you healthy. And
anti-vampires. Like anti-everything, you know?
And I don't know why.
What kind of virus is it? Yeah.
It's a fungus.
Okay.
I don't know why it likes garlic so much. I can't figure that out. But anyway, so my garlic, I recommend people don't plant.
Don't plant.
So you'll want to talk to the vendor.
Okay.
But most of it, you can. Yeah, you could even buy it at the grocery store and plant it.
That's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Because
it seems like there would be some kind of, I don't know. I mean, just as a consumer, it seems like there would be something changed about it. Some it would have been processed in some way that makes it, I guess, infertile, but not the case.
A lot of our food is alive.
Yeah.
You know, beans and lentils and a lot of nuts. Anything that you can sprout, you know, like people sprout seed, you know, beans and rice and grains. That's all alive. It's all, so much of our food is actually seeds for like eating next year's.
I can remember as a child in the winter months in northern Indiana, a mother would cut the top off of carrots and put it in a little saucer of water. And just like magic, you know, it'd get 5-6 inches of growth. And it was just fun to see that. We're here with Emily Levine, and we've been talking about the Farmer Market, Holiday Market at Bonner Mall, 10 to 2 this Saturday. Go there and you will not be disappointed. You're a board member with the Farmers Market. How was this past year?
This year was fantastic. It was our 30th year. So we celebrated 30 years of in the same place. And we had some really lucky, I mean, really hardworking people who founded our market 30 years ago, some of whom, I don't know if anyone from the very first year, but I know that there's people who are still selling at market who were there in at least the second year of the market.
Wow.
And people who have, you know, it takes a lot of work to run a market. It's a nonprofit, so all of our board members are volunteers, and a lot of work goes into keeping it going, and we owe a lot to the people who started it and made it what it is, made it really wholesome, and made sure that all of our vendors are local, and all of the food is local, and all of the product there is local. This year was fantastic. It was very busy. I think everyone noticed that There's a lot of people in town right now, and that was true at the market too. We had a great turnout all the way through the season, not just, I am personally impressed, you know, because there's a tourist season, but the farmer's market goes from May to October.
Yes.
And so, you know, May and June and September and October are not tourist months, and we still have a great turnout, lots of regular customers, great music. Just a really fun time. We had on Wednesdays, we started having someone come and do kids activities. So kids, families can come and the kids can, they're doing crafts or reading books in the park there. We had some fun events and
it's a great venue.
Yeah,
it really is. You can't beat that. Now, when you look back upon your stretch as a board member, do summers get like, that was the year of the radish. Ooh, that was the year of the kale. you know, I mean, is there a cycle like that where everybody sits around? I'm sure when you get a bunch of gardeners sitting around talking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my life.
And sharing. And yeah, imagine the talk, you know, like, mm-hmm. well, you might want to try this. Mm. Or, yeah, we've found success with, yeah, I'm
that's
sure.
That's what we do in the winter is get together and drink beer and eat all the food that's left over and talk about how to do it better. This farming community in Sandpoint also is really fantastic. Everybody we're all good friends. We share our tools and our seeds and our ideas and our tips with each other. There's competition. It's friendly competition.
Sure.
But it's really a community of sharing and trying to make sure that, because there is room for so much food to be grown. I mean, we're not competing with each other. We're competing with Walmart, you know? And so there's lots of people who need to eat and we do get together and share all of our secrets and it's really fun.
What is the trendy vegetable for 2019?
Ooh, good question. Ooh.
Wow.
If we're going to buy vegetable stock.
I think probably cauliflower.
Really?
Ooh.
Sure.
Well,
it's kind of like the paleo thing.
Uh-huh. There's that restaurant in town. Started doing the Kung Pao cauliflower.
That stuff is delicious.
You're right. I think that's going to...
My sister has been doing like a pizza crust mm-hmm. made out of cauliflower
mm-hmm, yep.
and like cauliflower mashed potatoes, yep. things mm-hmm. like that. You
know. I personally am rooting for radicchio, but it hasn't seemed to hit here yet. It's on the coasts, radicchio is like...
Okay, so that's coming our way.
It's coming, you know, we're like 5 years behind Portland, New York City, that sort of thing. Yeah. So look for, you know, 2023.
Yeah.
We're going to be rocking the radicchio.
Right.
Bonner B headlines, radicchio hits Sandpoint. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope so.
Oh, I like mm-hmm. that. A trendy vegetable.
Yeah.
Well, I actually... ask my sisters in Portland, like, what's coming up? What's
really?
Shishito peppers, that was a thing this year that, again, we're a couple years behind, but...
Mm-hmm. Shishito?
Shishito peppers. They're a Japanese frying pepper, so they don't really have many seeds, and they have a really thin wall, so you just take them, they're like... Okay, this is radio. Mm-hmm. They're like 3-4 inches long, and pretty narrow, and then you just toss them in olive oil whole, like with the stems. You don't cut them up. You just leave the stems on and everything. You toss them in olive oil, or coconut oil is also really good, which is harder to toss things in, but you can just melt it and then throw them in
mm-hmm.
the pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just blister them. You can grill them too,
or roast them in the oven.
They're not hot at all. Nope, they're sweet. And they have a great flavor. And then you just get them blistered in whatever saute pan, grill, or the oven. And pull them out and a little lime juice and salt. And then you just put them on a platter and they're a great appetizer. And you just grab them by the stem
and
eat them. Put a little bowl there so people can discard their stem. And they're fantastic.
Shishito peppers.
I started growing them maybe 4 years ago and now they're big.
Okay, one can Google them for sure,
yeah. And I sell the starts, too. They're also a really fun thing to grow in your garden because they're very prolific.
Okay.
So if you plant one or two plants, you'll be good to go. And
yeah.
And Emily, it's
really good to have you here with us.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
You bet. Once again, the Farmers Market Holiday Market this Saturday, November 10th. Bonner Mall.
Change of venue, yeah.
10 to 2.
Correct.
Go there and be pleased, and everything is local.
Oh, I should mention we have live music for that event, too.
Great.
John Fershey, who we all, that's our favorite.
Okay.
Always. He plays guitar, and he's just, he's kind of trippy, but also, he's great. He just, he's clearly loving what he's doing, and it's entertaining and beautiful.
It's like the park moved to the mall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it you just go in the main door like you're going to Sears or something? You'll be right there?
Yeah. You know, we're going to be, we haven't pinned down exactly the layout yet. We're going to be all in like the walkways. There's also the old t-shirt shop that's empty, and we're going to have some vendors in there. So that's more on like the JCPenney entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So go in anyway, and you'll find us.
Cool.
You can't miss us.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's this weekend. Oh, should I bring cash or?
You should bring cash.
Of course. Should. By the wheelbarrow.
Some vendors take square. A square. So I have a square.
But not everybody does.
So
yeah. I mention it because it's Saturday. Banks might not be open.
It's true.
That's right. That's right.
And it's not the farmer's market where there's a bank on every corner.
Right.
So yeah, bring some cash. Bring your bags. Bring your kids.
And go Christmas shopping because like the pepper jelly would be a good Christmas, a stocking stuffer. But thanks again, Emily, for coming on.
Thank you
for having me. Always good to see you. This past week, I was in San Francisco, and I know we're going to go over 9 o'clock because I want to play this song. Mm-hmm. Let's not worry about it. We'll do our community calendar and then do. But the one movie I saw was Bohemian Rhapsody. Now, it plays loose on facts with Freddie Mercury and Queen. But it ends with the 22-minute performance at Live Aid Wembley. They've reconstructed the stage, and of course, the audience is computer-generated. But it's really incredible. And Queen and Freddie Mercury start off with this song, and I love it, and it's perfect for us. It's called Radio Gaga.
There we go.
Okay, that was Radio Gaga by Queen, the first song that they did of their 22-minute set at Live Aid at Wembley, I think, in 1985. Mm-hmm. And I saw Bohemian Rhapsody in IMAX.
Ooh.
And Bigger Than Life in San Francisco. And they play Loose with Facts about Freddie Mercury and Queen, the band. But the music...
Yeah.
You'd be hard pressed to beat it.
Yeah. I think that's I didn't know that it ends with that concert. The concert is legendary.
It begins with him walking out on the stage, and then the movie is a backward glance to the early days of Queen, and then going through their struggle, and especially trying to present to radio executives why Bohemian Rhapsody with opera, and like, what? Mm-hmm. What's going on there? And then ending up with the incredible performance.
Doesn't Mike Myers play one of the radio executives or something?
Yes, he does. He plays the radio executive.
Kind of a cameo.
He's got a full beard. Mm-hmm. And he was on Stephen Colbert last week talking about what a joy it was to be part of the movie.
Yeah.
And yes.
Because it was, I'm just thinking of, I mean, because of course there's a reference there to the movie Wayne's World.
Oh, absolutely.
Hilarious.
When they're in the car banging their heads.
Yeah.
That's just great stuff. Let's do some entertainment. I'll start off with tonight through the 11th at the Panada Theater, The Guilty. It's a Danish thriller, and it's being held in the main Panada Theater and also in the Little Panada Theater. The dates and the times are the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Go to... Panada.org for whether it's in the big theater or the little theater and the times. But I have read nothing. My latest issue or two issues ago of The New Yorker spoke very highly of this movie. It's a Danish thriller, and it takes place in one room. A police detective gets this. He's doing like a 911, and this call comes in, help me. Mm-hmm. And it's all focused on in this one room with this call coming in. And it doesn't go outside the room. That's my understanding.
Huh.
And it's supposed to be really good. The Guilty at the Panada.
We've got, what else? It's Is it possible that tonight is the Nordic Ski Fair, the Sandpoint Nordic Club hosting a Nordic Ski Fair from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Heartwood Center tonight? You can register to become a member of the Nordic Ski Club with a discount for signing up tonight. News and registration on the season's upcoming adult clinics and youth ski league, ski rental information, and intro to waxing demonstrations. I might have to go to that. Plus, there will be pizza and beer and raffles. You can come go down and support the local Nordic skiing community and get ready for the snow season ahead. SandpointNordic.com is the website for that organization. It's also, I'm going to say it. It's the Wild Night for Wilderness, which is, they were talking about on this program on Tuesday, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun at Matchwood Brewing, presented by the Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness and the Idaho Conservation League. Good food and brews, live music from Oak Street Connection, a raffle and online auction featuring original work from local artists that closes at the end of the event. Bidding is currently open online if you want to check it out. I'm sure you go to either the Friends of Scotchman Peaks website or the Idaho Conservation League's website will get you to that website. Matchwood is family friendly, so you don't have to be 21 and older to go down to that brewery. Sponsored by the Idaho Forest Group and the Sandpoint Reader, it's Wild Night for Wilderness tonight.
And if you don't know where the Matchwood Brewing is, it's in the Granary District near Evans Brothers, if you haven't been over there. Tonight, before we get into all the music that you can hear tonight, Literary Pop-Up Open Mic at the Sandpoint Literary Collective hosts its second pop-up open mic at 6 p.m. at the Ponderay Winery on Cedar Street. This is an opportunity to showcase local and guest literary talent. Writers of all stripes, I didn't know that writers had stripes, are invited to read their original work for up to 5 minutes. Attendees are encouraged to enhance their experience reading and or listening with award-winning wines and delectable appetizers. Admission is free. Everyone is welcome. For more information, 208-255-4410.
The BZN Film Rodeo is coming to the Panada Theater. That'll be at the Little Theater on First Avenue. The festival begins at 7 p.m. You can go to panada.org to learn more, or they have a website specifically for that page. But it's the very first BZN International Film Festival from Bozeman, Montana. Award-winning films with audiences around the Pacific Northwest are touring through the area, and they are stopping in Sandpoint this very night, the 8th. How about that? Should we talk about the live music?
The rundown? Tonight, live music at the 219, and then that gets us into Friday. But tonight at the new 219, that's at 219 First Avenue, with Jimmy Smith from 8 to 11. And free and open to the public, age 21 or older, non-smoking environment. So that's at the 219 Club, live music with Jimmy Smith.
Live music at the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow night is going to be the Ron Keeper Jazz Trio, who, as far as I know, don't have any CDs, so we don't have them in the library yet. But I saw them a couple weeks ago. I happened to see them at the winery, and I thought they were great. They're playing tonight tomorrow night at the Idaho Poor Authority, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. At the winery tomorrow night. Brown Salmon Truck. It's a trio featuring, I can't remember who. I know a couple of them, but I don't remember all three of them, so I'm not going to mention any names. But it's a trio of local musicians featuring a fun and talented mix of vintage, contemporary blues, jazz, and Latin music. That's at the winery tomorrow night. If you're going down on Cedar Street and want to walk down to the Cedar Street Bridge from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., the Ronaldos will be playing. It's a Spokane-based duo playing songs from the 60s through to today's hits, Ronaldos.
And then there's an annual harvest dinner at the Hope Memorial Community Center, 415 Wellington Place. It starts at 5:30 tomorrow night. Enjoy a traditional holiday meal, bucket raffle, beer and wine bar, and a great time to visit with friends and neighbors and meet new ones. You need to RSVP, call 208-264-5481. The Hope Memorial Community Center is hosting the annual Harvest Dinner tomorrow night at 5:30.
There is a paint and sip party. Getting ready for the holidays, you can create a winter wine bottle centerpiece at Sandpoint, at the Pottery Bug. A beautiful winter tree with pearls bottle will be the project at the Pottery Bug starting at 6 p.m. All embellishments, bottle paints, and cork mini lights are included. Just bring your best friends and something to sip. That's at the Pottery Bug tomorrow night. Ron Green is going to be playing at McDuff's Beer Hall coming up from Coeur d'Alene. He'll be playing tomorrow night from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall, 21 and older, please. And once again, it is time for that contra dance that someday I might go to. Sandpoint Parks and Recreation partnering with Emily Faulkner and Lost Horse Press for a contra dance from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. in Sandpoint Community Hall. Tomorrow night, it's on First Avenue. You are suggested to show up early if you are a beginner, or and you can learn a little bit about contra dance. Second Friday of the month, and that is tomorrow.
And we're heading into Saturday now.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cough. At the Bonner Mall,
mm-hmm.
the Farmer's Market Holiday Market. We had Emily with us talking from 10 till 2 at the Bonner Mall on Saturday. Go out there and produce and handcraft items and all sorts of other treasures.
We're so over time, but okay. It's the ski swap this Saturday, the SARS ski swap. Don't miss that at the Bonner County Fairgrounds from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
That's Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday, sorry. And the Native Heritage Film Series Man Killer will be the film at the Sandpoint Library out on, technically on Cedar Street. It's on the corner of Cedar and Division. Two screenings of the film Man Killer at 12:30 p.m. and 3 p.m. It's about a woman named Wilma Man Killer, the first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, who led her people in building one of the strongest Indian tribes in America. There will be a discussion to follow, free and open to the public, ebonnerlibrary.org or 263-6930.
And for more information on any of the items we mentioned, or to include even more items, go to Sandpoint Online, and then you can get the complete calendar of events.
Okay, stay tuned for Bird Note and then
Check. Eclectic it's been
Mix
good.
All day long. It's been great to see you again, Jim. Welcome back to the inland Northwest.
It's good to be here.
Okay, here we go. Back to Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on KRFY Panhandle Community Radio.